All right. Do we introduce it? Do we do it?
I assume one of us would be like, blah, blah, blah. This is the unholy pod for whatever week it is. Time has no meaning.
I think that's the intro. I think we keep it. Welcome to the Unholy Podcast. Time isn't real.
So don't worry about it. When you hear this, it's not going to matter. None of it's relevant.
This is a podcast. This is a podcast about nothing. We're going to read posts from the Am I the Asshole subreddit, hence the name Unholy. Side note, I had to tell my mom that I was making a podcast and what it was going to be about because I didn't want her to find out from someone else that I had a podcast called the Unholy Podcast.
Well, all the church moms are going to lose it, right? So they're going to...
Yeah, well, I thought she would see that and think that it was just me railing against God for an hour.
To be fair, he's got it coming, you know, after this year. You gotta wonder what's going through his head. He's had it too good for too long.
That God.
We're all trying to find the guy that did this.
God be like. I saw a tweet the other day that was like, "What if God came down and just said it's pronounced Jod and then went back up?"
Yeah, and people be like, "Oh my God! I mean, oh my Jod! don't use Jod's name in vain."
They have to change so much.
Yeah. Yeah, you know the Pope's going to try to say it and he's going to screw up and then he's going to cross himself.
Yep. All right, do you want to introduce yourself? I mean, I'm assuming we're only going to have 3 listeners.
Yeah, we're only going to have 3 listeners and they're all our friends, but
David,
just so
Kyle,
you know,
Bannis and my mom. So.
No, come on. Kyle Lady's going to listen too. Maybe.
That's probably true.
So for those of you listening who don't know who I am, I'm Jessica. JQ, not JQ on Twitter.
You're so lucky to not know who she is.
Yeah, a lot of people have to know me just through various circumstances or legal requirements. And honestly, I feel bad for them. I feel worse for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm Becca. I'm here doing it.
And that's all I got right now. I can't give you any more. And the theme song for the podcast, I know you just heard it, but it's actually Becca and the Jess. So,
yeah.
We can close with that. We should record that, and that can be our closing.
Yeah, when Elton John wrote that song, he wanted to call it Becca and the Jets, the Jess. But we didn't give him the permissions.
No. I keep my likeness rights really close to me, to like my face.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
Well,
there's money
we told
in
him,
these good looks.
We told him he could call it that for the very price, and you know, he walked. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into it. So the premise of this podcast was that I all the time would send my friends links to these posts on Am I the Asshole subreddit, which is where people go to describe drama in their life and then ask the wisdom of the internet, am I the asshole? And almost always they are the asshole. But I love reading it because it's not about anything. It's just completely irrelevant drama, and it's other people's drama. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to do some other stuff too, but we're going to start with this. So,
in my mind, this like, am I the asshole? The people who post there and the same thing in like our relationships, if you're posting there, I feel like you probably already know if you're the asshole or not. And if you don't know,
like,
I get so worried about those people.
It's one of two things, right? It's either someone who's so completely an asshole and is looking for like vindication, and then they end up getting so much vitriol and hate. Or it's someone who knows that they're not an asshole, but they want validation. and they want to feel better, so they go to the internet and they post about it. But
yeah, imagine needing attention and validation that much. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe if you're enjoying this podcast. Every thumbs up lets me feel joy for just a brief moment. So
imagine needing validation that you would put your thoughts onto the internet.
Yeah, never. I have like 75,000 tweets. Oops.
Oh my God.
My blog too, I've written enough for it to be a novel. If I wanted to go through and edit and make it like a narrative, I've written so much.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there are a lot of published like books that are just essays. And I'm like, some of them are good, but a lot of them I read them and I'm like, who do you think you are? Like, we've all written essays.
I mean, I feel like the book kind of tells you who they think they are. So maybe you just need a more critical eye while you're reading this.
You're right. It's me. So what we're going to do is I've picked out a few posts just based on the title and things that I thought sounded absolutely ridiculous. And then we're going to read them. We're going to discuss and give our unsolicited opinions rather than posting our opinions on Reddit. We're going to record them for all of you because for some reason we think we're that special that we get to read our opinions in podcast form.
Yeah, I think Troll Hangout's really going to like this. So,
yeah. All right. So the first one is called "Am I the Asshole for Making My Girlfriend Wear White to a Wedding?"
I saw the title and I yelled. I was like, yeah, why? What? So, do you want me to read it or are you going to read it?
I can do the first one and then, you know, maybe we'll just switch it off, figuring it out as
we
go.
Love to switch it off.
Yeah, so we haven't read any of these, but here we go. So, they say, "My best friend and I are the type to always pull pranks on each other. It's just how our friendship formed, and we always get a kick out of it. For example, he once invited me to a party and told me to wear a costume, and when I got there, it was normal attire." It's like that episode
the
of The
Babadook
Office.
Meme.
The Diwali episode of The Office when Karen shows up as
a
cheerleader.
Cheerleader costume. I was thinking of the picture where it's like, went to a grown-up wine party, but I thought it was going to have a Babadook vibe, so it's just the person sitting just like the Babadook, but it's a grown-up wine party. And then someone later posted... went to what I thought was a grown-up wine party, but it had more of a Babadook vibe. So everyone else is dressed like the Babadook, and they're like dressed very nice, holding wine. It's pretty good.
That's funny. All right.
Anyway,
so so when I got there, it was normal attire. I laughed after the initial embarrassment, and like I said, we're comfortable enough to do that to each other. He held a wedding this past weekend. He held a wedding, not like he got married.
In his hands.
He held a wedding. He held a wedding this past weekend. It was socially distant. Everyone was spread out and entirely outdoors. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, right. Fuck you. In the weeks leading up to the wedding, I told my girlfriend to wear white as it was expected that all the women would wear it. She was reluctant, but I told her it was just a quirky thing the bride and groom were doing. So she said, okay, and bought a white dress. When we got to the wedding, it was standard wedding attire, and my girlfriend was mortified when my best friend saw what I had done. He was cracking up and joked, "I guess you two are getting married instead of us." The bride was pissed off and made a huge deal out of it. And I wonder why. Normally, she's really chill, so I was surprised by her anger. Oh, my friend even tried to calm her down and told her it was just clothing and it doesn't change anything. Now I feel incredibly bad by what happened. I really didn't think it was a big deal. I personally think this is being blown out of proportion, but I don't know. You do know. You do know.
Here's the thing, though. I think not only is the poster an asshole, but so is the groom. Because the groom's like, this is hilarious.
The groom's like, this is fucking hilarious. And his poor bride, who says is normally chill, was mortified, obviously. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta know at a wedding, you know, you gotta make it about the bride. And I know they do these all the time, but how many times do they get married? So... to be fair, it's probably never come up before, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
lesson learned there.
The average person only gets, like, 4 weddings, so...
Oh, far behind. I've only had 2 engagements.
You want to make sure you're...
never finish anything in my life.
Yeah, all right. Well, so the comments do seem to agree with us, but...
of course they do. I've never been wrong in my life. So the top one is, "You're the asshole, OMG. It wasn't just your bestie that did this to you. You also did it to your girlfriend and the poor bride. What an asshole move." And that's definitely where my opinion rests on this one.
The retirement party thing is, like, silly. And also, like, you show up to a retirement party in a costume. Like, you can take the costume off.
Maybe. Could be really tight. Yeah.
Or you can just leave. Broken. Like, you don't have to stay, right? But this poor girl had to go to a wedding dressed in white.
I wonder how... He doesn't really say how the girlfriend handled it, other than she thought it was weird at first. But I feel like she must be... It says she was mortified. Okay, never mind. Yeah. I'm wrong. But yeah, like that... I feel like everybody hates him except his friend right now.
I feel like I don't know. I can't exactly relate to this, because I wouldn't really believe that anyone would do this. Of like, all the women are supposed to wear white. So I would be like, it would have said that in the invitation, right? Like, and I probably would have not worn white just to be safe. Because like,
then it's you better. Would have been the weird one.
It's better to be like not on theme than like risk showing up wearing white at a wedding, right? Like,
I think if it were me, I would have brought a second dress just in case. I know you like your bullshit jokes. So I just want to be prepared in case you're setting me up for that right now.
Yeah, but I gotta say, like, for the bride and groom, this is not starting things off great for them.
So you're hoping that the relationship falls apart. Mm-hmm. That's your view already, is that, you know, they don't deserve to be together. The bride has suffered enough already.
All right. Here's the thing. Like, day one, the groom put bullshit in front of how his, like, wife was feeling. Like, that's not great.
I just feel like I need that to be okay, or I'm never going to be able to get married.
You need bullshit to be okay? But you, see, like, but I feel like you wouldn't, like, you would know, like, your fiancé in that situation, if it were you doing this, like, they would know and also be on board and be like, yeah, that's funny. Like, why would he... Like, I feel like the groom had to have been in on the joke.
That's kind of where I feel, too. Unless they
do it to surprise each other.
Like, that it's a prank bro type guys. And yeah. All those videos online of guys being assholes to their girlfriends. But then there's videos of the girls' friends being assholes back. Because they're like, it's just for attention. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And so I don't know why they do that. I don't relate to it.
I don't know. This guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
All right.
So then the verdict on this one, yes.
Definitely yes. Asshole. That's absolutely yes.
Wow. I know that. You hate to see that.
Poster is not listening to this podcast, but.
Not yet. Once we're famous and they're listening to back episodes, he's going to be like, yeah. Holy shit, do you think they're talking about me?
This aired 4 years ago. I got married 4 years ago.
My God.
I've been married four times since then.
And we pull the same prank every time.
Yeah.
Maybe we should stop.
I don't know why I keep getting divorced. I'm such a nice guy. All right, you want to kick off the next one?
Yeah, I'll take the next one. So, the title is Am I the Asshole for Refusing to Return a Tip and Telling a Couple That I Don't Have Time to Play Mediator? I don't have a huge response to the initial question, but let's read.
I don't know.
I'm a 22-year-old female waitress at Texas Roadhouse. This is one of my two jobs to put myself through college. Most days are fine, but other days are a living hell. Yesterday I was assigned to a table that had a husband, wife, and what appeared to be a teenage daughter, maybe 17. Everything was going smooth at first, and the wife ordered a margarita. The husband then tried ordering a beer. The wife instantly lost her noodles and said, oh no, he will not have a beer. He will have a water.
Oh my God.
She then turned to him and said something along the lines of him not needing to drink because he was driving. He said, no, the daughter could drive. It was childish.
Oh, God.
Anyways, he keeps telling me he wants a beer. She keeps telling me no.
Oh,
in this
God.
Industry, situations like this are lose-lose for a waitress. If I get him the beer, wife won't tip. If I don't get him the beer, he won't tip. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. So while they were arguing at me, I said, listen, I really don't have time to play mediator here. They went silent. Mm-hmm. I went and got both of them their alcohol. Daughter gives me an apologetic look upon my return, presumably because her mother was acting batshit crazy upon seeing me bring a beer in tow. Flash forward to after their meals. Husband has had 2 beers at this point.
Oh, so he's
wife
wasted.
Has stopped drinking. 2 beers? Wife had stopped drinking and glares at me every time I return. Wife and daughter go to the car while husband pays. Husband drops me a $40 tip on a $68 tab.
Oh my God.
I told him I couldn't accept it. He insisted. Eventually, I pocketed it.
Good girl.
Wife comes in an hour or so later, demanding that I give her back the $40 that her husband gave me, stating that I was a terrible host and went against her, and I don't deserve a tip.
Oh, my God.
She got my manager involved, who said, she's not obligated to give you her tip. You left the restaurant. The tip has already been processed. Have a nice night.
Good for the
she
manager.
Was fuming, screaming at me how much of an asshole I was for supplying her husband alcohol after she said no. Other guests started chiming in saying that she was being ignorant and that I was doing my job, which is to provide guests with what they want, and said it wasn't my fault. She was a controlling wife. She then stormed out. Given the fact that I was put on the spot like that, I feel insanely guilty. Am I the asshole? No.
Obviously not.
Not at all.
Holy fuck. I can't. Okay. Like, even were it not Corona times, this would be fucking wild to be doing to a server.
Oh yeah, especially to be, like, given losing your shit and
but like especially now, like who the fuck do you think you are coming in here and yelling? Like, first of all, you're eating at a restaurant, so you already suck that you're eating indoors in a restaurant. I don't care what anyone listening thinks. That's how I feel. But
right now. But even right outside now. Of coronavirus, Becca's like, you know what? Fuck you for eating inside.
You eat a Texas Roadhouse? Fuck you.
No, I like Texas Roadhouse. I don't want to. They have that good butter. Yeah, and the rolls?
The rolls with the cinnamon butter.
And like, their steaks are fine because it's meat that they've seasoned and cooked. I've had good steaks there.
I think it might not
be worth the price. Because
like, my hometown was just chain restaurants. It was the suburbia, just chain restaurants. Well, no, you had a Tex-Mex spot. I guess we had a few that weren't.
Yeah,
but
like,
it
we
was
had an
like
Italian place I liked. We had the Mexican place I liked. But yeah, it was primarily like Applebee's. If we were going
Applebee's,
out for like a nice
Olive
dinner.
Garden, on the border, Texas Roadhouse. There was also a Logan's that was across the street from the
Logan's
Texas Roadhouse.
Logan's is just Texas Roadhouse in my head. They're the same thing.
Yeah, they're the same, but they were across
One
the street
has
from
peanuts,
each other,
right? And the other doesn't.
Yep. Logan's does the peanuts.
I like peanuts. They're salty.
They both have rolls, I think. But anyway, yeah, like,
I got rolls because of their peanuts and rolls.
It sounds like you're saying penis.
Penis? They've got the bucket of peanuts?
Oh, God. First of all, like, it's amazing that the manager was, like, backing you up. When I was a waitress, the manager did not give a shit how we felt and really just wanted to, like, make money and get customers in and out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and have them complain to, like, corporate or whatever and raise a fit.
Yeah.
It's probably even worse now.
Yeah, I had a manager who, like, I had a customer once who ordered something and I wrote down what they ordered and then I brought them the food and they said, this isn't what I ordered. And I had written it down and I was like, I'm positive, but okay. And my manager entered it in to take it off their bill. First of all, she ate most of it and then
was like, hold
she still
up.
Wanted it taken off her
this
bill.
Isn't
my manager,
fish. This is a burger.
Yeah. My manager took it off her bill and entered it in as server error. And when it's entered in as server error, it comes out of your like nightly money. So it came out of my tips for that night, her $8 sandwich, because the managers didn't give a shit.
Of course. Because all they care about is not getting in trouble, not being in the news for, like, being accidentally racist or purposely racist, as the case may be. Like,
Yeah, but this is pretty straightforward. Also, like, what a wild marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like,
I don't even... Clearly, the daughter is like, I hate this. I don't want to be here. These two are the worst.
That's so embarrassing for your parent to, like, yell at the server about it.
Yeah.
Like, server is just like, I'm going to bring you whatever you order and you're going to pay for it and we're all going to be fine.
That's like, the agreement here. When you walked in, yeah, we entered yeah. into an agreement where you tell me what to bring you and I just do it.
And I bring you, that's, it's in the name.
You're you don't server. Get to fight. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah.
So let me ask you, which would be worse for you personally, is if you went to dinner with your parents and they did this, or uh-huh. if you went to dinner with just your dad and he flirts with the waitress?
I think if my parents did this, I mean, okay. my dad is very like a social butterfly and is very, very friendly with everyone. And I'm pretty sure that like, if I didn't know that that was just how he was, I would just assume that he was flirting. So to me, it wouldn't be that mortifying. Like, it's
just kind of so obvious. You're saying the texts he sent me are just friendly, not flirty. I just want to be clear. I don't want to like, I don't want to mistake anything.
You're like, I'm mixing up signals here.
Yeah, I'm so confused. I know every night before I go to bed, he's like, have a good night, thinking of you. And then he sends a little heart. But it's the black heart. So I'm like, okay.
That's a friend heart.
That's not love. Yeah. Is that a friend heart?
Yeah.
But then when I wake up in the morning, he sends the kissy face and garlic. So is he
the garlic really throws you off.
Yeah,
though.
Like I don't know how to yeah. take any of it. So yeah. I just send him back, you know, a single tit. And I don't know. I don't know where we stand. So next time you talk to your dad, will you ask him?
All right. I'm officially never telling my mom how to find our podcast.
About this podcast. Be like, Mom, don't listen to the first episode. We talk about, you know, abortion.
Oh, man. All right.
So well, then the verdict on number two, not the asshole. Straightforward. Not, yeah, not pretty, at all the asshole. Yeah.
Pretty.
I That's like a clear. Classic kind of millennial vibe to be like, I feel guilty because I couldn't, well, these people were so upset with each other and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're a server is you're dealing with people at their like their worst and they get hungriest. So angry. They get so angry at you personally. And so it's hard to walk away from that and like compartmentalize it and be like, well, clearly they're just fucking going through it. But in the moment, you're like, oh, it's me. Like, I clearly did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're 22. Like, I feel like when you're 22, you just think everyone hates you all the time. So.
Yeah, I guess that's not even a millennial, is it? That's got to be Generation Z by then, I would think.
Yeah. Just I don't a little know. Baby.
I'm 4,000 years old. So I do want to see what the top comment says. Said, not the asshole, in my opinion. Manager has your back, which is good. The other customers as well. Really, she's pissed at her husband and not you.
Yeah.
Although they, yeah. someone does say it could have been more professional if just saying, I will come back later, instead of saying, I don't have time to mediate. But I get it, like, so I'll tell you a story. Once, when I was working at Borders, we used to have this this book group come in. And they would read a book at our back table and have a discussion or whatever. We had to set it up for them. They were super nice most of the time, but every now and then they'd bring extra people and we'd have to get more chairs and stuff. So one night I'm setting it up for the people because they did bring extra people than they had said. And the guy in charge snapped at me with his fingers to get my attention. And I turned to him and I was so angry in that moment. I said, please do not snap at me. And then... I got the rest of the chairs and I went and I told my boss, I think I just was so rude to the book club guy. And she was like, listen, if he doesn't say anything, I don't care. I don't want to know about it. I was a supervisor. She was a supervisor. So we're basically on the same level. It's fine. So when the guy That's leaves, nice. I was like, okay, you're ignoring it. That works for me. Cause I knew I'm in customer service. I shouldn't do that. So the guy leaves and I see him on his way out. Cause I'm getting ready to close the store. And he looks at me and he walks over and he goes, listen, I got to apologize. I really shouldn't have snapped at you. And I said, you know Aww. What? It's okay. It's been a long day. I feel bad Aww. Too. Like I just in that moment was like, no, don't. And he's like, I get it. I would react the same way. So like we saved it. But I yeah. get why in those moments when someone's being kind of rude, you're like, I'm not going to fucking deal with this. It's just yeah. that little thing that took it. So
yeah,
I get it.
I when I was a waitress, it was like my first real job, and so I thought it was like my job to keep everybody like happy all the time. And I was a waitress in West Michigan, where everyone is the worst. Mm-hmm. Like people are so mean, and it's very ironic because it's super religious over there.
What?
And everyone is so fucking mean.
I can hardly believe that.
I know, yeah. And it was, yeah, it was just the worst. And I took everything really personally. Like, mm-hmm. I just always assumed that they were right and that I was, like, the worst. And, yeah, it was the worst job. I think I came home after, like, the third night and my mom was on the phone with someone on the stoop. And I just, like, sat down. I was like, I'm quitting. She's like, no, you're not. You need money. I was like, yeah, you're right. Shit.
Got me there, Mom.
Yeah, you got me. All right. Why don't we can take a short break. And when we come back, we can do our little segment of did you hear about this?
Yeah, I've got a great news update, really interesting fact for today. So
all right, we'll take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, which is just the bossa nova music.
All right. Thanks to our sponsor, insert sponsor here. Great to have you aboard. Appreciate the support. We're going to do our next segment. It's called Did You Hear About This? And it's just going to be a place for us to share kind of interesting things we've learned maybe recently or in the past. So today, I'm a pretty big jazz fan. A lot mm-hmm. of you probably know that in this chat right mm-hmm. now, which is Becca. So, one of my favorite artists growing up was actually Nat King Cole, because my mom used to play his albums. Of course, the song Unforgettable, Route 66, Only Paper Moon. Really good recordings. And then Natalie King Cole, or I think just Natalie Cole. I don't think she was in King, of course, because she's a woman. So,
should be Natalie Queen Cole.
Well, she's a princess at the time, but she renounced the throne. So that's kind of what I'm sharing is a lot
that,
of people
that brings
don't
us
know
right
this.
That brings us right into our topic
right into it today. So I actually found out last week Nat King Cole, the King is not his middle name. That was actually because he was the King of Dubai from 1955 to 1958, and he was well loved by his people. He of course inherited it from his father, Nat King Cole the first. He's Nat King Cole the second. Mm-hmm. So they called him Nathaniel then because he wasn't a hipster yet, like he was
King,
once he hit the jazz.
King thing. Nathaniel Cole.
Yeah. King Nathaniel Cole.
Yeah.
And of course he left the throne, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. out of scandal, but because he was just such a good piano player and a jazz musician that he was lured to America by our overflowing budget for jazz performances at the time, in those pre-Happy Days days. So he came over, renounced the throne. He's
the throne of Dubai.
The throne of Dubai, yeah. He still retained the title for a long time because they decided to pivot to democracy, of course. Like, they don't have kings anymore. So the king line kind of stopped with him, but he did have the daughter who was a princess, so... I don't remember if she got married. I guess that would make, if they did revert to a monarchy, you know, her husband would become the new king. Whatever his last name is, probably not Cole, but, incidentally, she is also a jazz musician, and when given the chance to go back, cause they said, you know what, maybe like, the UK will have a figurehead in kind of a queen, right? And she said, no, you can't afford me, and basically just stopped calling them back. So
she ghosted
Dubai, yeah, which is why they call it the haunted city, and now you know.
I think I saw that article on the same website that said that milk causes autism.
Yeah. It's only certain kinds of milk, though. You gotta get vitamin A.
Yeah,
for autism. So
yeah,
that's
what the A
is,
stands for.
If you, as long as you put ice on top of the milk, if you're having it with cereal, you can't get autism. If you're not icing your milk, just make sure you are. We want everyone out there to be healthy
be safe.
And safe, especially right
be
now.
Safe.
You know, these unprecedented times. So be sure to ice your cereal and avoid the milk autism.
All right. That was, did you hear about this? And now you've heard.
Yeah. Be sure to tell your friends. That's some fun trivia. Great. to the next, post then.
Yeah, this is me. All right. I loved this one. And as soon as I saw the title, I did not read any further because the title's whack, for lack of a better word. So it just says, am I the asshole for refusing to meet my grandchild? I'm going to go with probably. All right. I have a son I haven't seen in 6 years, and he is dead to me. Strong start.
Yeah, I got a feeling anytime you start a story with that, you're in the right. No questions asked.
Yeah. Like, no one's ever disowned their child and been wrong about it.
I have a son I haven't seen in 6 years that I wish to murder.
All right. So, he's dead to me. That's where we left off. If anyone asks if we have children, I say we have one daughter and that's it. First of all, I love the idea of me just casually being like, oh, do you have any kids? And someone says, yeah, I have one daughter and that's it.
Don't ask anything else. I don't want to talk about it.
No other questions.
Kind of seems like you want to talk about it, but okay.
He married a woman that neither of us liked, made terrible financial decisions, and ended up having to move in with us. We let him live there for 6 months until my wife and daughter-in-law ended up in a screaming match over lipstick, and obviously it wasn't really about the lipstick, but I couldn't take it anymore. I asked them to leave. Not immediately, but to make plans. Okay, that seems reasonable. My son said that I could not evict him legally, and I reassured him that I didn't mean that night, I just wanted him to figure it out. Alright, I'm starting to lean back towards Dad here. He said that they were tenants because they had lived with us for over 30 days, and now it is slightly my fault for not knowing the law, but in my opinion, my son is the scum of the earth. We had to go through a long court process, and it was months before we could get him out. Living in that house was hell. My wife screamed all the time, and it was just unbearable. I told my son the day he left to never contact me again. I don't care if he's terminally ill and needs a kidney. I am not his father. Well, everything has been great for 6 years, but daughter-in-law had a baby, and he called my wife crying about how much he misses us and that he wants us to meet his son. My wife agreed that when I asked her about it, she admitted that she doesn't really want to meet the baby, she just felt guilty. She's now begging me to go with her because she's uncomfortable, but I never want to see either of them again, and that baby is nothing to me.
All dead right, people can't have babies, that's why.
There's a lot of layers here.
Like, yeah, so initially, obviously, simple. You side with the son because you're like, it's your grandchild. But sounds like the son was an asshole, too.
Yeah.
And I in my head, I keep saying, you know, we're only hearing the dad's side. I feel like this is one where I want more context, but we're not going to get it.
Yeah. The thing that rubs me the wrong way is that the son was like pulling out legalese when talking to his dad. About you can't legally evict me. And the dad's like, I'm not actually trying to evict you. And of course, again, this is just the dad's side, but there is a choice on this. On this Reddit, the way it works is that people vote in the comments and they either say YTA, which is you're the asshole, or NTA, not the asshole. But then there's also some other ones being info, like need more info, obviously. And ESH, my personal favorite, which is everyone sucks here. And this is, I feel like this is kind of leaning that way. Like, obviously, it sounds like the living situation was pretty horrible, but at the end of the day, like, the grandkid didn't do anything wrong.
I also wonder, too, like, it's been 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the son has realized that he's screwed up and was really terrible to his parents. And, you know, what has there been any attempt at communication or anything else in that time since, I would wonder.
It sounds like no. Like, I get straight up, if the dad is saying, like, he doesn't even tell people he has a son, then I've got to assume that they haven't been in contact. It sounds like the first that they'd heard from him was the daughter-in-law saying that she had had a baby, and the son calling the mom saying that he wanted them to meet the baby. And, like, I gotta feel like saying, like, this baby is nothing to me is pretty, that's pretty low. Like,
maybe he just hates babies in general.
At a certain point, like, this guy's got to be getting up there, right? Like, don't you have to reckon with your own mortality and be like, I only have so many years to get to know my grandkid? And, like, what, like, yeah, this is rough. I feel like this is a big grudge. And
he's never going to reap what he sows. It's fine.
Yeah, like, yeah. All right, so let's go to the comments. The top comment is, as I expected, everyone sucks here. I feel bad for this baby born into such a dysfunctional family. Every single one of you needs therapy. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. This is an extremely complex situation and way above the pay grade of the subreddit. Yeah. There's way too much information missing, and I genuinely feel that we need to hear your son's side of things before anyone could even think of giving an accurate judgment.
I agree.
All right. Yeah, but all these comments are pretty much just everybody sucks here.
The same. They all want more information too, right?
Yeah, I just feel like nothing anyone could ever do is bad enough for someone to say this baby is dead to me. Like, you can still have a relationship with your grandkid while saying like that you don't respect your kid, right? Like, those can be two different things. I feel like. And that's obviously complicated and something that they'll have to figure out. But
so you're saying we should reach out and as the interview. Professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the people kind of in charge of this sort of thing, we're going to contact Scavia 4.
Yep.
I think they're a Ska fan. That's great. I play saxophone. I get it. So we've got that in with them. So then this one is undetermined?
Yeah. They all suck, I think. Everyone from the info here. Given. If we had more info, maybe we could make an actual ruling.
Yeah.
I love there's like older people on Reddit, because we all know that like older people are on Facebook, but the thought of like 60-year-olds just like scrolling Reddit, something about it just makes me really happy.
They might not be 60. Like, I feel like they could be younger, right? Let's say they're 40.
Sure.
And the kid, well, I guess they might need to. They
40 would be 50. Real young.
Yeah, 50, yeah, and the kids 30. So they got together with a girlfriend when they were like 24. So it's, I mean,
sure.
I don't know that they're that old. I could picture Mark or Eric being on Reddit, you know? They're like 80. So
true. All right, let's do one more.
Let's see. There's two options. I love Let me see.
I like D for you, personally. Okay.
Yeah, I like D for me, too. It just depends on the person. Okay. Am I the asshole for telling the new employee I'm first priority? And in parentheses, probably. It says, sorry for any bad formatting / grammar. English isn't my best subject. Frowny face. Close parentheses. Our original schedule was this. Manager opens Monday through Friday. Other guy closes Thursday through Sunday. Me closes Monday through Wednesday, opens Saturday, Sunday.
I like the dramatic reading. Yeah.
There's going to be a quiz at the end. I've been working for a privately owned restaurant for a year now. That's ever important. Since I got there, I've worked while sick, worked holidays, and basically cover everyone's A*S. Especially since I'm one of the very few employees who knows how to open and close correctly, plus the owner's trust. Overall, I'm treated like a manager, even though I'm not.
Hmm.
The owners only have two employees per day, one for opening and one the other for closing. It became a big issue because other guy started school, so he was unavailable for a while. Here comes new person. Oh, everything shit. Was going well with them at first. They were willing to work any days or hours. Never once did they tell us they needed certain days off, so they got the other guy's schedule. Suddenly, month in, the new employee tells us that they can only work Monday through Thursday. Somehow they got approved for those days off? Like, really? The poor other guy had to pull strings to work the days new employee can't. You know what happens next?
No.
New employee starts complaining that they need more hours and that they don't have enough money to pay rent, only working one day. So I offered to give up my Wednesday. they got offended and said, we need to make sacrifices and I have to give them my Monday through Wednesday so they can get at least 4 days again. What? Excuse me? Me. I've been here longer. I get first priority on hours. It's bad enough you took Friday through Sunday off, so that's not my fault. I can't be working only 2 days. Talk to the manager or owner and hopefully they can squeeze you in as extra help in the afternoons. New employee replies, wow, I really don't appreciate that. That's so rude and mean, telling me that you're more important than me. DX, which I think is closed eyes and a frowny yeah. smile.
So really upset face.
This happened recently, so I'll give any updates if they make a complaint or something happens to them with their unrealistic demands. So, first of all, this person is not a manager. They've just, they're probably somebody who's worked at a place forever, and managers let them pretend like they run things, because I knew people like this at Home Depot. But they're not good enough to ever actually be a manager or rise up. Although I gotta say, I don't know what they're doing. If they're in a restaurant or retail, it sounds like retail.
It's a restaurant. They said privately owned restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Okay. I gotta pay more attention when I read, because I never do. Yeah.
Here's the thing, like, service industry, like, the hours you work are really important, and most people like fight for more and more hours, because odds are if you're working at a restaurant, you really need the money. And so for this person to come in and say, I can only work Monday through Thursday, but I have to work all of those days, is pretty shitty. I just, like, this sounds like...
No, it would never fly anywhere I've ever worked.
You'd say, like, well, I can only work Monday through Thursday, and they'd say, well, we already have someone covering those nights, so you can work one of those days or something. But, like, I'm amazed that they got this job. Because when I got my restaurant job, I had to, like, give them my availability before they'd even hire me. And so I'm surprised that they could land a restaurant job saying, I can't work Friday through Sunday, because those are the busiest days. So, like...
Right.
This new person sounds very young.
I feel like the management put them in this situation now. I feel like the person writing the story shouldn't even be involved. Like, it should be between the new people and the manager, and the manager's determined the schedule. But I would also, unless the person telling the story here is, like, terrible, I would default to my established employees, because they've been around longer and they know what they're doing more. Like, I don't know why you as a new person would come in and be like, oh no, I need more of your days. I need 3 of your days, in fact.
Yeah. The way that they're telling this story, like, I can't imagine being that new person and being like, rather than being like, you're right, I'm so sorry, being like, wow, you're being so mean. Like, absolutely not. Like, you're the new person. You need to figure out the ropes, and you're the one, like, it's so wild to come into a job, especially a service job, and to already be, like, so entitled about your schedule. Like, that's just not how
I
food industry works, unfortunately. Like, if that's the kind of job you're taking, you have to just kind of take what hours you can get. Like, I would just be like, if you want more hours, you have to work the weekends. Like, that's how this works. Like,
yeah, figure it out. Open up your availability.
Yeah, like, obviously this person's been around long enough that they have this very established schedule. Like, and when I worked at the restaurant I worked at, like, I was kind of always the newbie, because I only worked there for, like, 7 or 8 months. But there were people that had been there for years, and they had their nights, and those were, like, their nights that they worked every single shift, and you didn't tell them that you needed those days instead. Like, that would be insane.
I know you've been working this for years, but I'm going to need them hours.
I need Wednesday nights. Yeah, I need Wednesday nights. So you're going to have to switch your schedule. Yeah,
so really, I think the storyteller is not the asshole. Like, I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like if I were them, I wouldn't even be involved in that discussion, because this person, not a manager, doesn't make any decisions on coverage or hours or anything. The managers that do it. So I would just be like, hey, you know, I don't handle writing schedules. You got to go talk to so-and-so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would also make clear to the manager, like, oh, I absolutely am not giving up any hours. These are these days I work. This is what I want.
I think it was right to say something to this person, to say, like, you don't, I think at a certain point, you can try to handle things yourself before going to the manager. And I can also see that side of it, of like, I don't want to bother my manager with this drama. So I'm just going to try to set this person straight. And at the point when they come at you and they're like, you don't get to tell me you're more important than me. And you're like, that's just how the food industry works. I've been here longer. Like, that's how this goes. Then at that point, you just tell your manager and let them deal with it. And if you've been there for a long time, the manager's going to have your side. So
you would hope, yeah. But yeah. To me, as someone who's been a manager and had to deal with employees like that, I would rather they not even get involved in that conversation because yeah. it's nothing that's within the scope of their responsibility.
Yeah. This sounds like an interesting arrangement where she's like good friends with the manager and has been there mm-hmm. for a year and has, you know, knows all the ropes. And so I could see also them like offloading some of that responsibility. But yeah, so all the comments pretty say not the asshole. This is how this works. If you've been there longer, you get priority, plain and simple. Seniority, blah, blah, blah. Like food service industry. It's pretty straightforward. It's not like any other industry where it's like, oh, your amount of experience like determines what kind of decisions you get to make. It's straight up like, no, you just showed up, so you don't.
You haven't called in 6 months. I guess you're promoted.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also wild. Like, obviously, we don't know this person's situation, but it's wild to be like, I need the money, but also I can't work Friday through Sunday. It's like, well, then you shouldn't be at a restaurant because those are the nights that you make money. Like, I think back to what I made in tips, and like Monday through Wednesday, you'd maybe make, I don't know, $50, but on a Saturday, you could clear like $200 or $300. So if you're actually looking for money, like, you got to work the weekends. Like, this person's just. I don't know. It sounds like a kid. Like, if I'm being honest, they both kind of sound like children. Like, teenagers, and one of them has been there longer. So they're like...
I'm surprised how many adults come in with this same of attitude yeah. in the retail yeah. world. I don't miss it.
Yeah, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying, like, God, I hope that they're both, like, teenagers, that waitress or something. But, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway...
So not the asshole, probably. Like 99% sure not the asshole.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to go with not the asshole.
Great.
Yeah. The last Reddit thing that we were going to touch was we thought maybe it would be fun to also throw in to the mix one post from the relationships subreddit. Just because I love, again, this is all in the same vein of I love reading about other people's problems. But this one I thought was actually interesting. It's not about anybody's problems. The title is Children of Poly Relationships. What was it like growing up? And I think this is interesting because I have my own, you know, preconceptions about how I think this would be. But I'm interested to actually hear from some of the people. So this is a comment. Somebody said, when I was young, my folks dated a couple of couples. So one was very
I
want to
know how many people that is total.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm like the lady with the math equations flying in front of her face. Like, my parents, who were a couple, dated a couple of couples.
So and that's got to be six,
at least six,
at least, right?
Six yeah. people. Yeah. 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 So two people dating at least two couples. Okay. One was very long term. We were military families, but they managed to finagle a transfer together. That's really interesting. So that would have been 8 years at least. Yep. That's yeah, if it's two transfers, that's 4 years. 4 years. They kept in close romantic contact when they separated, but I don't know if they would qualify that as still being together. Essentially, they were my aunt and uncle. We were their kiddos and got sent off to grandparents, theirs and ours, together to give them alone time. Wow. It was kind of a given that we'd all see each other every couple of days. Either they would come to our house or we would go to theirs. Not for them to sneak away for sexy time, but just to spend time together and be a family together. I knew I could go to them about anything that I could talk to my folks about, and even some things that I couldn't. That closeness continued even when my own folks split up. I don't know what standing they had with them after that, though. Unfortunately, my aunt kind of had a psychotic menopause, and we had to go and see with her. No contact. Yeah. Nobody knows that I'm still in contact with Uncle, though. I don't know how my mom would feel about it, but he stayed a rock for me when my own dad didn't. Same drama as any other family, I guess. Just more players on the stage. This is interesting, because it's like, when you're the kid, do you know that they're all sleeping together? Or do you just think, like, this is our close family friend?
I would assume you probably just think it's a close family friend. And I think, like, I can't do poly. My affections don't work that way. But for some of the people I've talked to, a lot of it is beyond just the sex aspect and more of, like, a support system. And not altogether different than I think some close friendships can be between groups who don't sleep with each other. So I would assume you see them, like this person's saying, as aunt and uncle, pretty much. That. Mm-hmm. But as you get older, you start to understand that there's more to the relationship than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting. It sounds like this person had about as healthy of a situation as could be, given that. Like, it sounds like it was pretty cut and dry of, like, there was one sort of steady couple that their parents dated. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would have to assume that that means the dad was with the other wife and the mom was with the other husband, and that just kind of conveniently works out.
They could have all been together. Don't erase bisexuals.
All right.
How dare you? I'm right here.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
But yeah, I like the sound of it, because I'm like, to me, especially in a situation where maybe stuff can get weird. You're military, so I know, you know, how stressful that can be, I think, when people are gone and all that. I think having a larger support system is understandable and good. And
if it becomes romantic, like,
it's good to have that option if that's something you can work with.
I think my thing with, like, with polyamory is it has to be so clearly communicated, and the boundaries have to be so clearly defined, or else it's just not going to work. And it's personally not, you know, not my lifestyle, but I think if people can make it work, then, like, whatever. But it sounds like these people did right by their kids. And that's, like, my main concern is, like, if you're going to bring other people into that, like, but this just sounds like for the kids, it was like they said, it was like they had an aunt and uncle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that couple also had kids. And so their kids were all friends. And that's kind of interesting. Kind of nice.
And the comment under that says, and I guess it's attributed to somebody else, it's not theirs, but it says, sometimes your logical family is superior to your biological one. And that's certainly always been the case for me. Like, I've had stronger friendships than family relationships. So I get that. I appreciate it. I think those dynamics can be difficult to understand if you're not in them, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of other ones. When I was younger, I didn't realize my mom and dad were poly, but now it's funny to see my friends' faces when I say my mom and her wife and my dad's girlfriend and his other girlfriend are gonna get together for dinner tonight.
Think of how many gifts you'd get at Christmas.
Yeah, I'm trying to do this math. Okay, my mom and her wife and my dad and my dad's girl. So the mom and the dad are not together anymore, and the mom is married a woman, and the dad has two girlfriends, is what I'm getting.
I mean, maybe they could still be married. I don't know. There are states that allow you to marry more than one person, right?
I think it's just Utah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Polygamy. Not a good pedigree. Yeah, I don't know. But I think... feel like probably it's got to be a challenge for people who are really in, like, long-term committed poly relationships, because a lot of our legal structure for that kind of thing is not set up for multiple partners.
No.
Which I personally don't care for other people. It doesn't bother me. So I don't know why it's such a problem, except that I think a lot of it is driven by religious people who are like, oh no, I don't like that.
Yeah, but the irony is that, like, the justification for polygamy being legal in Utah is an entirely religious one.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're in the right either. I just mean in general. Right. Like, I don't care what those people are doing, because it's not really hurting anybody. They choose that for themselves.
Right. Yeah, well, in the yeah, I don't know enough about any of it to really have an opinion. But I'm just always kind of been of the mind of, like, people can do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting other people.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Cool. Well, that was a good one.
Interesting.
It was not relationship drama, but interesting to hear about that.
I know. I wanted relationship drama. That's what I thought we were doing.
Yeah. Well, there's gonna be more.
It's okay. It's okay.
There'll be more.
Do you want to do your good news segment to close us out here?
Yeah. So I thought, you know, with everything being so terrible, to close us out, I thought it would be fun to do something current events, but again, just something actually about nothing, because the actual news is kind of horrible right now. Other than telling people to register to vote, make sure you know where to vote. That's about it. Go to vote.org. But so first, I have a bit of a beef with people and humanity in general, is that we have this, like, this genre of the news, which is like inspirational porn. Like, I used to watch nightly news with my family at night, and obviously, and they would,
the,
like,
nightly news at night. Holy shit, what a blessed life.
Yeah. And they, like, would end every news broadcast with, like, something good, and I, like, that was always nice, but they were usually stories that underneath were actually sad. Like, teacher, you know, like, drive student home from school every day or something like that. Or, like, you know, anonymous stranger gives teacher $10,000 so they can buy supplies for their students. Or, like, something like that that's, like, has the cadence of a nice story, but is actually,
it's a commentary on how terrible our society is.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this isn't like the story that I wanted to highlight this week, but I had to bring it up because someone shared it at work in our global channel and said, like, oh, what a beautiful story. And I read it and my first thought was, like, this is horrible. So as a customer raises a huge $12,000 tip to give his favorite 89-year-old pizza delivery man. Watch this video for the tearful surprise. And I hate this for so many reasons. Like, first of all, if this person actually just genuinely wanted to make this man's life better, they wouldn't have done it. Like, they could have just done it anonymously. Like, this is about them. Like, they filmed themselves giving him this tip, and then obviously they sent it to someone or posted it somewhere, right? Like, why
did this have to... says they're a TikTok family, whatever that means.
Oh no, do I have to read this?
Do you think it's that terrible family that does, like, the birthday videos and all the singing and stuff?
Oh no. Okay, so the news story says that they would film him delivering their pizza every time because he had such a charming manner and a cheerful catchphrase. Hello, are you looking for some pizza? So every time he delivered them pizza, they would film him and put it on TikTok. And soon enough, he became something of a senior sensation among their 53,000 followers. So yeah, I have to assume that this is a family that, like, makes money off of their TikTok. So they raised $12,000 for him. So it wasn't their money. They raised it from their fans. And then he delivered them pizza and they gave him a check for $12,069. Nice. And I just, like, I have so many opinions, as I do about most things, but I really just feel like if it was about being nice to this man, they would have just given him the money quietly. Like, this was about them centering themselves and making themselves feel like they were good about themselves. And also, in what world does an 89-year-old man need to deliver pizza?
I do. Well, I want to know more about that. Like, that is he just doing it for fun? Social safety net has done nothing. Yeah, if he's choosing, like, you know, some folks will work at Walmart and stuff when they retire, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems fine, but if you can't afford, like, your day-to-day life and
it's a pandemic,
housing and medical stuff, it, like, yeah, especially right now, he shouldn't be out there. He shouldn't have to be out there delivering pizzas. And honestly, I don't think anyone should have to do any of that right now. I think the government
these aren't good people. They did a good thing, and it's probably going to make a really big difference in this man's life. But if it was actually about helping this person, they didn't need to film it and post it for them, their TikTok followers. Like, this
Becca, I absolutely agree. That's a great point.
Okay, great. Thank you. And yeah, I hate every story like that.
Angry. I have so many friends who are teachers, and it's
celebrity.
The same thing.
Yeah, like a celebrity filming themselves bringing someone like a car or something, and I'm like, this is about you. It's not. It's not about you doing a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's like good deeds
whatever gets
happen.
Them clicks.
Yeah, good deeds are what like happens when nobody's looking. And
I'm
like,
gonna start recording myself doing bad deeds, like to balance the karma out. I'm just gonna be like, hey, today we're slashing tires. It's
gonna
it's...
trip this old woman.
What up, Jess fam? Gonna push a baby over. Mash that retweet button.
I don't even know what the button is on TikTok. So out of it.
Maybe it's the tick, or it could be the talk.
You're right.
I've never made a TikTok. I love them. I love to watch them.
I don't
when
have
people,
the
when
app.
When they've got Vine energy. Well, no, yeah, I see the ones that are on Twitter or in like the original memes.
That's the thing is like I see the ones that get filtered up to Twitter or YouTube. Yeah. And that's fine by me. Like someone else did the dirty work of finding the good ones.
Yeah, they watched through terrible Drek like this so that we can see a cat that farted.
Yep. To the Minecraft theme music.
Ooh. Now you've got my attention.
So the actual good story that I wanted to share, because this is relevant because the world is on fire, because climate change, it says Australian scientists create seaweed supplement for cows that reduces methane emissions by 80%. So I don't know if people know this, but methane emissions are one of the leading causes of climate change. It's one of the top causes of global warming. So they always say like your number one individual thing that you can do to contribute is to just cut down on dairy and red meat, which is sad because I love dairy and red meat as most people do. And also I think it's kind of a cop out to put like the weight of saving the planet on
individuals,
every individual person when
not
like
the corporations that
are dumping radioactive waste into the ocean, and they're like
forcing 89-year-old men to deliver.
If only you did meatless Mondays.
If the whole planet did a meatless Monday, all they would do is throw out all of the meat that spoiled that day.
But I liked this. It just says, let's see. An Australian company has produced a seaweed-based dietary supplement for dairy and beef cows that eliminates 80% of the methane content emitted by the animals. First of all, I love the idea that it's someone's job to track the farts coming from the cows.
Do you think they get right up there and kind of waft it towards their face? Like, oh, yeah.
And they're like,
that's already better.
That's 80% better, yeah.
Look, we'll need to run some real tests, but I got to tell you, this feels like 75% to 82% reduction.
Yeah, so we can just call it an even 80. Nice.
Yeah, you
want to
just round it? We'll round it. Yeah. We'll go hit Texas Roadhouse. I want a beer.
So this company is called Future Feed, and they've already raised $13 million to establish a supply chain from seaweed cultivation. And like, there's been a lot of stuff recently just about how algae is going to be so important in the climate change battle. But I liked this story specifically because it's the best of both worlds. Like we can still safely consume meat, but there's like gotta be a way to do it. That doesn't mean these cow farts are filling up the atmosphere. Cause that's kind of what's happening right now.
Well, I'd be concerned for the animals a little bit just in terms of like, is it unhealthy for them at all? How does it affect them in their digestive tract? Do they still live as long? Like what is the impact to them?
Yeah.
Even though literally I want them to grow so that they can be killed and I can eat them. I still want to know, like, what are you doing to these animals? Are they, you know, are they suffering at all before the killing?
This doesn't really seem to say anything about that. I'm guessing it's just because they don't have the data on that. And it's also like when cows are being like raised for livestock, like they don't live that long anyway.
They don't matter.
Here it says the Australian National Science Agency has deemed this seaweed safe for lifetime use in cows.
Nice.
So that's
I'll reach out to my friends on the Australian team and have them check into this. Maybe they can send us some samples to try on air.
Yeah, I'm sure
I'll let you know how it affects my methane output.
Yeah, after 26 hours of shipping, I'm sure that ground beef is going to be perfectly
edible. Oh, no, not. I want this algae. They're going to send me that good green.
To cut down 80% of your farts. Yeah. Yeah.
Because honestly, even an 80% reduction, it's still going to be pretty bad. So.
But I feel like stuff like this, as well as like the Beyond Beef, like I've had some Beyond burgers that have been pretty damn good.
I've had Impossible Burger, and I liked it because it's
juicy.
You know, for the listeners, I need the good texture, and a lot of like the fake meats or bean burgers or tempeh.
It's come a long way.
I don't like them because they feel weird in my mouth. So yeah, I need that good mouthfeel.
I was a vegetarian from like 2011 to 2013, and
she's so much happier now.
I mean, I really don't eat a lot of meat now, but I'm not strict about it. But like back, I basically operate as if there's a plant substitute, I will get that. But back then, like your options were like black bean burgers or tofu. Like there weren't meat substitutes that tasted and felt like meat.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have come a long way, so it's very exciting. Like the Impossible Burgers have the texture of a burger and the like juiciness of a burger, and that's I think very important to a lot of people. Reasonably so.
Yeah, I don't need it to like look like it necessarily. I need it to taste like it and to feel like it, but not to the point where it needs to bleed, because I know some of these meats look like they're bleeding or whatever. Like that's not what I'm in it for. I'm in it for salt and protein and texture.
Well, that was a tangent, but thanks to our two listeners, it started with three, but I have to assume someone has dropped by now.
Yeah, we should be live streaming this instead, just so we can get a close watch. But you know, if you've got any products you'd like us to sponsor, please reach out.
Even if you won't pay
have
us
to vet them. Yeah, we'll just like to talk about stuff. We'll probably be nice about it, so don't worry.
We'll keep doing this, I guess. If no one wants us to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We don't do it for you.
Buckle up.
Anyways, I'm Jessica. And this is Becca.
And that's me.
Goodbye forever.
Thanks for listening.
We did it.
We did a podcast. We make it a podcast.